What is it that gets you through the really bad days in your life? Maybe a bit of empathy. Don't let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. Maybe a bit of wisdom. If today is the worst day of your life, then you know tomorrow will be better. Maybe a bit of sarcasm. You say this is the worst day of your life. I say this is the worst day of your life so far. A bit of faith. I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Or maybe for you, it's just a big bowl of ice cream and a foot massage. I don't know. No doubt all of us have bad days. Some of us have terrible days. A handful of us have had, no doubt, nearly unbearable days. But I don't know anyone who has had a day like this. There was a man, a good man, a godly man, highly thought of and respected by all, neighbor and servant alike. He had the ideal number of children. He had enormous wealth and livestock. This man was known far and wide to be the greatest man in the territory. One day, a messenger came running to the man to tell him the news that in his fields they had been attacked, and his livestock was carried off, and his servants killed. And while this messenger was still speaking, another messenger came up to the man to tell him that while they were out in the fields once again, the sheep were out there, they were grazing, all of them, servants and sheep and all, had been burned up from fire, which seemed to fall from the heavens. While they were still speaking, another messenger arrived to tell the man that a raiding party had attacked them and carried off all their camels and killed all the servants. Yet while they were still speaking, another messenger came to tell the man that while his sons and daughters were feasting in their house, a mighty wind came upon them, the house collapsed, and all were killed. Talk about your bad days. At this, the man got up and did something I've never done, no matter how bad a day I've had, but maybe we should. He tore his clothes, shaved his head in mourning, and then fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And in all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. But that was only the beginning. How could things get worse, you say? Well, on another day, all of a sudden, Job looked down, and from his top of his head to the soles of his feet, he was covered with painful boils. It got worse. And as we read in our Old Testament lesson, Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes in mourning. Now, I think that his wife was a little sick of his belly aching and mourning because she begged him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, husbands, I think we've all heard something like that before when we're under the weather. I can't be the only one here who's a bad patient. Job replied to his wife with words of truth in her frustration, saying, "Should we accept the good from God and not his trouble? Should we accept the good from God and not his trouble?" Words to think about. And Scripture tells us, in all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. Someone once said, "It's strange to be honored for the worst day of my life." I think Job would agree if he were here. It's kind of like having a holiday and a birthday cake and balloons on the day that you crashed your brand new Mercedes. And so then there might be some of you who are wondering to yourselves, what is it about Job that stands out so much that Father Christian would use it to kick off Stewardship Month? Good question. I'm getting there. Good question. Stewardship Month. And the answer is Job's heart of faithfulness. His heart of faithfulness. One thing we see in Job's story that got him through not only the worst day of his life, but the worst season of his life, was his heart of faithfulness. In his heart of hearts, he knew that God had authority over all matters of life. And Job's faithfulness to God is what carried him through everything. His wife laughed at him and mocked him. His friends attempted to comfort and counsel him to no avail. And Job himself wrestled with God in prayer over the problem of his own pain and suffering. But here's the thing. In their attempt ultimately to help Job, his wife and his friends were encouraging him to help himself, trying to bring the focus off of God and on to himself, saying, "Curse God and die." Although as righteous as Job was, as he wrestled with the question of his own suffering, he also struggled with elements of self-pity, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, and self-deceit. Yet Job did not sin against the Lord with his lips. Why? Because even though in the weakness of his flesh he struggled and wrestled with God, in his heart he was only and ever faithful to God. The battle between heart and flesh, which Job faced, is a battle we all face every day. In the midst of pain and suffering and all else that contributes to the worst day of our lives, it's nearly impossible to rid ourselves of ourselves and instead focus on God's will and purposes in it all. Job couldn't, but what he was able to do was to remain faithful to God, being constant and ever true, trusting in God's sovereignty in and over all things. Not only are we talking about stewardship, but our gospel lesson also has material that makes for very difficult conversations. In it, the Pharisees come to test and trap Jesus using the topic of divorce. When they bring up Moses' allowance of divorce, Jesus points to the heart, saying, because of the hardness of heart, it was that Moses permitted a certificate of divorce. Then Jesus brings the conversation back around to the intention of God. That is, that God's beloved creatures of man and woman would be blessed in marriage and joined together forever. But where marriage fails is when there is more focus on self than on God and his purposes and will in life. Good or bad, needed or not, justified or not, the root of divorce is most often about self, which truly we can say about any sin out there, from the little white lie to murder that we saw this week. Thank the Lord that we are saved by grace and that we serve a loving God who's full of compassion and mercy, who believes in second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. Once again, Jesus draws in close a child to hit home his point, saying to his listeners, to this little one belongs the kingdom of God. Because in Jesus' day, children had no self to proclaim. As I said a couple weeks ago, and no offense to the youngins in the congregation today, but what do you have to stand on that you can boast in? Very young children have virtually none, right? Not much going on there. as we grow as children, we have more and more accomplishments to build up self, to stand upon, to boast in. Then as adults, it is the following solely of self and selfish desires which often creates problems, not only in marriage, but in all areas of our life. Job came to a place in his wrestling with God where he recognized his need to repent of his pride in self-righteousness. St. Francis, whom we celebrated this weekend, or today is his feast day, and we had a pet blessing yesterday, St. Francis came to recognize that his reliance on his family's worldly possessions caused his heart to be hard and closed off toward God. And when he finally heard the call of the Lord in his life and began to follow by giving away some of his family's wealth to rebuild a church, his father disowned him. And Francis, there and then, knew what he really had to do to crucify his flesh and live for God. He took all that he had, his money belt, his fancy clothes, and laid them down at his father's feet and walked away naked, singing alleluias to the Lord. He had rid his heart of all that clouded it. Brothers and sisters, as we begin stewardship and stewardship month, and what it means that we are called to be good stewards of all that God has given to us, specifically in regards to our time, our treasure, our talent, let us approach with this in mind. Stewardship flows out of a cultivated heart of righteousness. And the largest difficulty that stands in the way is our very self. To live a life of being good stewards of time, talent, treasure, is to take whatever steps are necessary in crucifying our flesh, that is, living less for ourself and curbing the thinking that it's all about me and my happiness and my satisfaction. Not that we have to tear all of our clothes off and walk away naked, shave our heads, live on the beach. We don't have to do that. Rather, in all humility, it is about doing our best to seek to see, not only with our eyes, but also understand in our mind, and even more so to know in our hearts, that it is God's sovereign will over us that matters. That in all things, he is sovereign. And then let the love, the mercy, the grace of God lead our lives. This is our challenge. This is our call. This is what truly gets us through the best and the worst days of our life. A heart of righteousness that can say in all situations of life, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Alleluia. And amen.